excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Maryland edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home from the Maryland game on September 5th, 2009. Well, you just can't go wrong with a 52-13 win, no matter how you slice it. And you definitely, triply can't go wrong when you're doing it against a bowl-caliber BCS conference team. Now, before we get too deep into the praises of this Bear team, which I think there are a lot and there's good reason to have them, let's remember just how much Maryland is rebuilding this year. They lost the vast majority of their starters, with only their running back and their quarterback returning in their skill positions, and massive losses across the defense. So in many ways, it's not fair to compare this year's Cal performance against Maryland versus last year's, because it's a very different Maryland team. The Bears actually are very similar to last year, but Maryland not so. And they were also putting in a new defensive formation, which is always going to be a little tricky that first week. But with those caveats aside, there's no doubt that the Bears performed very well, and the game opened up dramatically for the Bears once Riley's passing game got working. Best, obviously, still is best. And the offensive line was doing a great job opening holes for him. And just the push they were getting off of the line of scrimmage, Best could be effectively in the backfield, but already 2 to 3 yards downfield before he was cutting through a hole. So even if something didn't open up dramatically, he was able to get a few yards. The one play that really stuck in my mind about where I'm hoping Ludwig and the rest of the offensive staff can exploit was on Best's first TD run. The key piece was the play started out with, I believe it was Ross, but one of the wide receivers coming across hard on what looked like a fly sweep play. And it really froze the defense. They, for just that quarter to half a second, didn't know what to make of it, didn't know whether to read, whether Best or the wide receiver had the ball, and that was just the opening Best needed to exploit, get through the line, and then once in the open field, he was effectively gone. And so I really hope that the offense continues that sort of play calling of doing those things about forcing the defense to consider possibilities, just to freeze them for that quarter second to half second. You know, it's like a play action play, except the difference is it's all in the running game. And I really was excited to see that. But even when the Bears weren't using that sort of trickery, the run game was working, and it worked all game. The Bears really controlled that game from beginning to end. As for Riley and the passing game, Riley did really have a slow start, and I'm sure hoping that that's just the beginning of the season slow start and not a season-long slow start. Because he wasn't horrible, but he just wasn't that effective. But once he got going and was effective, he was a huge benefit to the team. And I think a big part of the reason that the running game was able to be so effective was because the passing game was so effective, and that really required Maryland to play the Cal balanced. So we really need Riley to continue to perform like he did in the second quarter and onward. But also, there are going to be those games where we're going to need that effort for all four quarters, and a slow start where it takes them a quarter to get moving is not going to suffice. The one thing he was doing early that I noticed, well, there are two things, actually, he was doing early that I noticed. The first was he wasn't looking off the defender. He was locking in on his receiver and just going to him. The one that really stuck with me on that one was on that play where he did the long pass to Best that ended up being dropped by Best, but he stared him all the way down the sideline, and it was pretty obvious where he wanted to go. In fact, what made that play in its failure so impressive was that despite that fact and the defense being very clued into what was going on, Best was able to get behind them with his speed. And then the second thing he was doing was, you could tell he was just that little bit hesitant. He had those little second thoughts in his mind that were affecting him. He had a number of, you know, just momentary double clutches where he didn't feel real comfortable just zipping the ball in there. And he got over it, but I think both of those things really need to be cleaned up so that he's really as effective as he possibly can be. On the other side of the passing game, I was very impressed with the wide receivers. In fact, Riley still had a number of throws that were a little bit troubling, but particularly Marvin Jones bailed him out and went up and got him and took the sacrifice of getting hit while high up in the air and coming down with the ball. Verrin Tucker had that one catch that he got that was similarly as impressive as the three that Marvin Jones had that were impressive. So what I'm really liking about Tucker and Jones so far is they don't just have good hands. They're pulling in passes that they shouldn't be pulling in because of the hits or the hands or whatever that's interfering with them. They're still grabbing that ball. It's like that physical basketball player who gets fouled as he goes to the rim, but he doesn't just get his 2 points from the free throws. He gets the ball in the hoop anyway, despite being fouled. And I felt that way about both Tucker and Jones at the game. And you can see why they've bubbled up to the top of the depth chart. I mean, Boateng had an opportunity to do a similar thing, and he dropped the ball. Now, it was a tougher catch. I mean, it wasn't something that he should have caught, but the way Tucker and Jones were hauling in the ball, you have a feeling they would have. And that's the difference between a great receiver and a serviceable receiver. On the defensive side of the ball, I didn't feel that inspired by their performance. I mostly felt like Maryland just wasn't getting the job done. Now, part of that might be because I'm just so used to a dominating performance by the Bears. And they've been just wonderful the last season ever since the switch. But until later in the game when the substitutes were coming in, they just weren't overwhelmingly impressive. I mean, they did a good job. Anytime you hold a team like Maryland to 13 points, how can you complain? But it wasn't overwhelming. Now, what I will say is this. I have never seen so many substitutions of different players early in a game. They probably had 20 players, maybe more, who were in a play in the first quarter. And I mean, that's a ballsy move. That really is. You know, it's more normal to, you know, let the second stringers and stuff get their time later in the game. But Gregory was really working on seeing what different combinations worked and trying things out. And what's key about that is I think he had the confidence in all of them that they'd be serviceable again, but he wants to see who's going to be exceptional. And so he was giving everybody their shot, and there was lots of mixing it up and lots of different players in the rotation. So that might have, you know, thrown the defense off a little bit, not giving them the kind of strength that they otherwise would have hoped for. There's a value to being in multiple plays. One thing Maryland does very well, better than most teams, and definitely was a struggle for the Bears, is mixing up their snap counts and their play timing. I mean, they'd go fast, they'd go slow, they'd wait a little bit, so it seemed like they were going slow, but then do a quick snap. Really things to keep the defense off balance, and that worked a bit on the Bears. But again, it was an overall strong performance. I felt like maybe they were sitting a little bit deeper in zone coverages than they should have. But when you're holding the other team down point-wise and they're not scoring, how can you complain? You know, the Bears had a little bit of, and I'll apologize in advance to Hydrotech, who I'm sure will listen, a little bit of that bend but don't break defense where they were keeping stuff in front of them, particularly on the outsides. And there were a few times the Maryland was getting away with those 7 and 8 yard passes that were all too easy. But as a whole, they weren't moving the ball extremely well. So when your offense is delivering, being a little bit more cautious on the outside is not a horrible sin. Of course, Sid Kwan continues to impress with his ability to bat away balls and get in there and do the right things. Very few pass interference calls, which is always good to see. And overall, he felt like the secondary did a good job within the game plan. That, you know, if the, because the softness was not their decision. They weren't playing 15 yards off because that's what they wanted to do. It's because what they were told to do by the coaching staff. And within those constraints, they did an excellent job. In the linebacker group, what was interesting to me was to see just how many people were contributing. Price, our junior college transfer, was awesome in the second half and probably just bought himself some more playing time earlier in the game. And then Devin Bishop came in and got some time. And that's in addition to the starters of Young, Holt, Kendricks, and Mohammed, who all, I thought, did very well and were involved in a number of key plays. So I think that's a really strong group, and that even if one or two of them go down, the backups are going to be more than just acceptable. They're going to be impressive as backups. And then finally, on the defensive line, again, a lot of rotations. I couldn't even remember who some of the numbers were. I mean, you know, Owusu has made his dent in spring ball, and Costanzo spent some time in there, and there were a few others that I would know the names, but there were some numbers there that I didn't know, and I had to look it up, and I'm already forgetting. So, again, lots of depth. Gregory was rotating through, having a ton of confidence in them, and they looked pretty strong. So, this defense, while it wasn't overwhelming particularly early, I think in the big picture, is a very, very solid unit with a lot of depth. I mean, a lot of depth. And as the season wears on, that's a crucially important factor. I mean, yeah, we're all looking through Oregon and USC. I mean, really, we're not even in our mind willing to look beyond that. But if the Bears are able to get through these first five games undefeated, it's going to be a massive struggle to win the rest, because everybody is going to be gunning to beat the best team in the conference. We will have established ourselves as that team, and things like injuries and weak performances will come up to bite the Bears. And that's where your depth and your ability to overcome weak performances is key. So I really think that seeing so much depth and seeing so many players rotated in on defense is a crucially important sign to the long-term success of this program, or of this team, just this year. Going back to the big picture, it's hard not to be impressed with this win. But I really do think we have to be careful, and the team has to be careful, not to assume that Maryland was very good. Because we just don't know. I mean, you're always going to be happy with a win like this, but you always have to be striving for more. And now we get to see just how determined this team is to keep winning even when things look really good. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the podcast. You'll hear again from me next Saturday night after the Eastern Washington game, and every other game throughout the season. The first game I will have player quotes and interviews is the Oregon game. I will be, again, traveling to the road games and covering it for Rivals, so that's when I'll have that additional access. But I will continue to do the podcast for the home games and from my TV on the Minnesota game, the one game I'm not traveling to. So, look forward to those, and thank you for listening. On the road again.